You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com. All right, glad you're with us. Yes, it is pre-Mueller report release day, and the media is already salivating and predicting this might happen. It's finally happening. They know it's a dud. They'll act differently. This is their last moment to breathlessly, hysterically hyperventilate over nothing, because we already know the answer. And whether they want to admit this or not, the answer is clear, unambiguous, and it gets right to the point, because Attorney General Barr already included from the Mueller report the sentence that kills all Trump-Russia collusion from Robert Mueller's report. The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. So now they've been hanging their hope. If you watch closely, though, they're not really even hanging their hope on obstruction, because, you know, the way the attorney general wrote this up, he's like, yeah, well, we decided in seconds that he didn't obstruct justice and it didn't rise to the level of any type of indictable offense, in part because there's no underlying crime. You would need that to get to beyond a reasonable doubt. And just because Donald Trump said he wanted to fire Mueller and it's a witch hunt and wanted to fire Rod Rosenstein and Jeff Sessions, and he fired Jim Comey and he wished that Lieutenant General Flynn, I hope he doesn't get in trouble. He didn't do any of those things. So just because he says it. Now, the perfect example is, well, the same deep state operatives that are about to be hit so hard, their mothers will feel the vibration of what's about to happen in terms of all that is going to be coming out. Everything we have reported in the last 2 years, we have evidence that will confirm and corroborate and verify that we were more right than we ever knew. Now, they're going to do their thing tomorrow. They're going to hysterically report. Look at this sentence. See, when he said to fire Mueller and he talked about the 18 people he hired that were all Democratic donors, and it's all true, including Clinton's lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, Trump acted. Trey Gowdy infamously said, if you're innocent, act like you're innocent. And in that sense, he was using it the wrong way, because he was suggesting that maybe Trump should be quiet. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm innocent, I'm going to scream it from the rooftops that I'm innocent, because you're innocent. And I think one of the most, I think Jerome Corsi, I'll use him as an example, was on the brink of being indicted. I really believe it, because Jerome Corsi came on this radio show for a long time, came on TV. And Jerome Corsi said, I didn't remember all the emails and the details. It's 2 years ago. And that's called the perjury trap. And I ask any of you, this is the danger for anybody that goes in and testifies. Because if you get something wrong, you don't remember, or you don't remember correctly, which is frankly very human, then they think they get to decide. They're the deciders. They get to determine whether or not you're lying or whether or not you really didn't remember it accurately. And he gave me a sneak preview. I guess he has a book coming out. And in it, he talked about, well, if there's anything you guys have that'll jog my memory, I don't remember. And, he's 70 years, whatever years old. I know I'm 57. I kind of have my memory lapses too. It's weird how everybody has a different type of memory. I know people They're great at memorizing in school. They didn't, 10 minutes, they'd have their vocabulary list down pat. And I'm like agonizing over trying to remember it. That's not how my brain works. But when I talk about Reagan's record, I can give you chapter and verse. You want George W. Bush's record? I'll give you that chapter and verse. I'll give you Clinton chapter and verse. I'll give you Obama chapter and verse. I'll give you the Trump presidency chapter and verse. But if you ask me who was on my show on Monday, I'm going to struggle. I won't remember. And I'll need to, I'd say, well, hang on, let me go back and look at my, look at my text message. What is it? All right, so-and-so. I can't tell you who was on TV Monday night right now. Linda, do you remember? I can't remember. Well, I mean, we do have our cast of characters. I don't remember. Solomon, I think, was on Monday night, right?
He had a breaking story.
He's got a great piece out today. Oh, did you see Hell Froze Over? I cannot believe I guess it was the Newsbusters that pointed it out, where they actually, at the Washington Post, admit that Fox News has been right all along. And I got a special shout out, especially Sean Hannity. Although they've been slammed for it, clamoring for an investigation of the investigators, aligning themselves with the president's claim of politically motivated witch hunt. Yeah, it goes on. It says Fox News, echo chamber for the right, but no more than CNN and MSNBC are for the left. And to be fair, when a Democrat's in the White House, the network switch places and Fox News criticizes every move. MSNBC, CNN defend the whole wall, which isn't true at Fox News. I just happen to be the one talk show host that is a conservative. I'm a member of the press, whether they like it or not. Now, I've never been to the Washington Correspondents' Dinner. I was glad to see that the president is going to hold a rally on the Saturday night of the Washington Correspondents' Dinner. I literally got in trouble one year when Fox was making me go. I'm like, I don't want to go. You have to go. I don't want to go. I don't like those people. I don't want to go. I don't want to put on that stupid suit that they make you wear, number one. And number two, there's nobody that's going to be there that I really want to hang out with. And I'd rather sit home and watch it on TV or never watch it at all. Anyway, so do you remember that year? I got very sick on that Friday before the Saturday. And
I could have sworn you were washing your hair.
Yeah, well, so I get a call from, I'm really feeling really bad on Friday. I think I can't go to work tonight. And Bill Shine calls me and he goes, you're absolutely full of it. He goes, you're not sick. You're lying to me. And I said, 100% I'm lying to you. And you tell Roger, he says at the time.
But so I think it would actually be fun if you went, not for nothing.
Well, okay. Well, I'll
it's
tell you
kinda
what.
Like, it's kind of like
I'm offered
when you
tickets
go to
every
these...
year. I'll give you the tickets. You can have my tickets. How
oh,
that?
No, you can't send me. They don't have a bleep out button there. I'll never make it.
No, I think you'll make it. I mean, it would be interesting. That might make worth the price of admission at that point. And then anyway, so Bill goes in and says Hannity doesn't want to go. After we had been through like 4 weeks of saying that he has to go, he finally throws up his hands. He said, I can't even repeat what he said. But basically, I was off the hook. But, when they go through that, yeah, all of this stuff happened. It's all true. That's why, look, this is not an accident. I'll explain later. I've talked about why do we always get these stories right and the media always gets it wrong? Because the media is now in a state of Trump psychosis. This is beyond derangement syndrome. And I remember the first person to say this was Newt Gingrich. He goes, no, they wake up every morning. How can we hurt Trump today? And they're salivating for tomorrow. Now, I just read to you that everything they've been telling you on these networks and in the Washington Post and the New York Times for 2.5 years is false on Russia collusion. No evidence. It says from the Mueller report, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Okay, done. And then it gets into a long explanation. I did it yesterday. Won't do it again. With the attorney general very quickly, without any consideration surrounding the indictment of or the possible indictment or criminal prosecution of a sitting president or DOJ policy on such, It was based on the facts, and it was based regarding many factual matters. The special counsel's investigation on obstruction, it was based on a review, but the special counsel's final report that they never found an underlying crime. It was reviewed by the Office of Legal Counsel, and they applied the real principles of federal prosecution to guide charging decisions. And even Rod Rosenstein and Attorney General Barr concluded quickly that it's not nowhere meets the standard of or sufficient enough to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. The great irony is as they hyperventilate starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow and continue all through the day and all through the night and all through Friday and all through the weekend. Well, the problem is not one of them will ever mention the fact that Hillary did commit underlying crimes. It is the proof positive. It's not. It is incontrovertible evidence. She violated the Espionage Act. I put it up on TV last night. 18 U.S.C. 793, having special access programming information, top secret, classified information, marked as such on her email server. That is a felony. She committed multiple felonies. Okay, so you got an underlying crime. Then you got the intent. The intent when she deleted the subpoenaed emails and cleaned the hard drive with bleach bit and busted up the devices and removed SIM cards. That is the clearest, biggest, hugest slam dunk obstruction of justice case you will ever see in your life. Because the intent is obvious to hide and eliminate the evidence that proves she violated the law. And not if that now all these people start sounding like they care starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow about obstruction. They are full of it. They just it's just like they believe, you know, the accusers of Kavanaugh, but they're dead silent when it comes to the lieutenant governor of Virginia. Nothing. I don't hear any I believers. None of them. And those interviews were beyond credible that Gayle King of CBS did in both cases, one an accusation of rape, another accusation of violent sexual assault, and corroboration of people that they told at the time. We don't even have an investigation in the state of Virginia going on at this point. I don't know where the federal investigation is. So that's going to be for tomorrow. Now, the worst part for all of them, and I don't expect, they made a mistake over at the Washington Post. Somebody messed up. Hannity's right. Hannity was right. Oh, yeah. Well, here's what's happening. What we've learned just from Nellie Brewster and their closed-door testimonies, thanks to Doug Collins released, and Strzok and Page and James Baker and Precep and all these other people, and there's 53 other closed-door sessions we haven't even touched yet. That's all going to come out, all of it. And what we're seeing, though, is an emerging circular firing squad. Strzok and Page, they brought this right into the office of the Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Okay, what did she know? When did she know it? Where's her emails? Where's her text messages? But then it asked the question, well, what did Rice know? And what about the leaking and the unmasking and, you know, Brennan and Clapper's role in all of this? This is not going to stop. It is now the beginning. They have one more rubber bullet, political bullet. They're going to fire at Trump and it's going to bounce off him like Superman. And they're stuck because they lied. They advanced conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. And they were wrong the entire time. But then we'll get the Nunes criminal referrals. Then we're going to get the Barr investigation. He used the word spying on the Trump campaign. That's all going to come out. The Horowitz Pfizer report sometime in May, which is going to show fraud committed at a high level against the court to get a warrant to deny an American citizen his constitutional rights, but more importantly, to also spy on an opposition party campaign using a bought and paid for Russian dossier, Russian lies that Hillary paid for. And everybody, according to Bruce Orr, was warned about. Then you got the Huber leaking. Then we'll actually at some point get the FISA applications. Then we'll get to see pages 10 through 12 and 17 through 34. Then we'll actually get to read the Gang of Eight material where the FBI admits they abuse power. And then we'll get, maybe Christopher Steele's testimony from down in Florida, which is going to be pretty damning, I hear. And then we'll get also the 302s. It's all coming out. Hillary's investigation is going to be reopened. And if it is, she's going to be charged. And deep state actors, many of the names we have been repeating for 2 years, they too will be getting criminal referrals and many will be indicted. Because if we don't do it, the end result is this will happen again. An attempted coup. One to help the favored candidate in an election and rig an election, and then to bludgeon with lies the duly elected president of the United States. And if we don't have equal justice under the law, equal application of our laws, if we let this pass, there won't be a constitution. And in the end, say goodbye to our constitutional republic. It must be investigated. Justice has to be served. I don't like the fact that, you know, in the process, the 99.9% of good intelligence people and good FBI people, the premier intelligence and law enforcement agency in the world, are tainted by this. But I'm not blaming them at all. They're great. They save us every day. But those that abuse their power, those that had a corrupt agenda, will be exposed. You know, there are more than 34 million American smokers. Now, I bet that finding a satisfying alternative to cigarettes is at the top of your list if you're a smoker. Look, I've been there before. But after many years of smoking, I finally made the switch to Juul. There's no more worrying about the way my clothes smell, worrying about what people are gonna say. With Juul, everything is so much easier. Now, Juul is a vaporizer that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. When I found Juul, it was a complete game changer. Now, Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to cigarettes. From its simple-to-use interface to its clean technology, well, Juul has no cigarette ash, odor, or mess. So if you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's nothing like you've tried, visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. And warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. You know, Candace Owens is joining us later in the program today. I feel so bad for what she went through. Did you see that? The attacks against her and the, you know, F Candace Owens, and it just is horrible the way conservatives are treated on college campuses. And, you know, because she's saying, hey, conservative policies are working for minorities in America. Just compare and contrast 8 years of Obama and 2 years of Trump. Bill O'Reilly also checking in today, and Kayleigh McEnany and Jeff Lord will be with us in the course of the program. Let me just tell you ahead of time, it's all going to start the craziness like you've seen for 2.5 years. And remember all the lies, all the conspiracy theories, all the webs they weave. They'll never retract. They'll never apologize. They'll never correct. They're already setting the stage. The next battle, we now have a memorandum of understanding of leaders in the House of Representatives to go after Trump's taxes. The clearest evidence even they know collusion, obstruction are dead. I'll come back. I'll tell you about that and why in the end this Mueller report, it's already dead. They don't even get it yet and why it won't matter. Straight ahead. All right, 25 before the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. By the way, I warned everybody, and it's interesting the media is dead silent. You know, you may not like Julian Assange, but you can't say that he's wrong, especially when you compare it to the fake news media in the U.S. And it's the fact what he gets, the sources, you know, it comes right out of the Pentagon Papers. Alan Dershowitz makes this great case saying that, you know, what Assange is doing, because everything he does, the Washington Post and the New York Times print. They print the same thing after he does. So it's going to be interesting because, and it's very interesting, too, that they're only going after, did he in any way help Chelsea Manning on the information, which apparently also, too, was edited. I remember asking a question in that interview about this. Would you put people's lives at risk? And he said they carefully do not. That was the answer to that or something to that effect. But OK, well, let's see where he got the emails. Did it really come from Russia? Did it come from multiple sources? You know, why did they not ask him that? Why are they only focusing on the Chelsea Manning issue when it comes to all the other information? You know what the broader question is? How is it even possible? Because this has been going on for decades that we have as a government, our top secrets are so vulnerable And it's like, here, another case. You've been hacked, you dummies. Fix it. You know, it becomes shame on you, shame on you. After 30 plus years, when does it become, what the hell is going on in the government that they don't protect our secrets? You want to know why the Clinton, you know, look at the Freedom of Information Act request by Judicial Watch showing the emails when officials began to realize the top secret classified information on her secret server in the mom and pop bathroom closet. They were like, oh, my God, this is going to forever impact our relations with foreign countries, because that's how sensitive it was. On top of the fact that they originally believed that six foreign intelligence services hacked into the, you know, Platts Rivers network server in a mom and pop bathroom closet. Watch, all the people that care about obstruction, they're not going to say a thing. But in the Pentagon Papers, if you're not involved in the stealing of information or conspiring to do so, well, then it becomes a case that, yeah, 6-3, the Supreme Court ruled with the New York Times and Washington Post that joined in that effort, and the information they had a legitimate right of the press to print. Question is, when is our government? I mean, I think we have 250,000 IT people, government officials. Why? Why are we so, why? So vulnerable still that this keeps happening? When we literally have sources, methods, you know, information about our Defense Department, war, peace, our enemies, intelligence. You got to keep it secret. Is the other danger that we have the powerful tools of intelligence. You got to protect them and only make sure the people use it for good, for peace, to protect innocent Americans, protect other innocent people around the world. You know, if we pick up intel that, you know, such country, an ally of ours, is in trouble, that something might happen, we pass it on. You know, if something terrible is in the works, we pass it on. So innocent people don't die. That's how it's life and death. So don't think, by the way, after 9 a.m. that this is it, because, I believe you're going to hear from Jay Sekulow, Rudy Giuliani, and a major rebuttal and real truth and real fact-finding, because the president's lawyers, this was reported by the AP, have put the finishing touches on their rebuttal that will also come out tomorrow. Rudy Giuliani, one of the president's attorneys, said earlier yesterday that the document will be dozens of pages long. He says it will be published in the hours after the release of the Mueller report, as it should be. And we'll see. Just watch. You're going to watch the same hysteria that you've watched for 2.5 years. The same get Trump. It's already dead. They don't know it's already dead. We have the literally bar inserted in his letter. I can read this again and again and again, and they won't get it anyway. The Mueller report says the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. It's over. Now, do I think the Andrew Weissmans of Mueller's team and the Jeannie Rays and all the Democratic donors that worked in their office, are they going to take shots at Donald Trump and try and raise innuendo? Innuendo's fine, but it doesn't mean a thing in a court of law. You know, we can, you know, there was plenty of innuendo when they said they wanted to tape the president of the United States and entrap the president of the United States and invoke the 25th Amendment of the, you know, to remove the sitting president, a duly elected president. They said it. We now know because of closed door testimony, they said, but they never did it. You can say a lot of things. I like to kick his ass or her, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You can say it. Don't do it. You don't do it. You didn't commit a crime. I'd always thought that, you know, punish people for what they do. I never understood hate crimes legislation. If there's a motivation that you can tie to the actual crime, then you get an extra penalty. Like, it became a big deal in the 2000 presidential race. You know, that horrible ad, the horrible killing of James Byrd. He was dragged to his death by animals, and George Bush supported the death penalty. That ad said it was like my father was killed all over again because he didn't support hate crimes legislation. No, he supported the death penalty for the evil perpetrated on this innocent man, which is what you should punish people for. You know, it's hard when you get into obstruction, you have intent. That's why Hillary's case is such a slam dunk. The intent to erase the subpoenaed emails and acid washed the hard drive, and not with a cloth, with something we never knew existed, bleach bit. Now everybody knows. And then, of course, beat up your devices, because there may be some more evidence on those, with a hammer, and remove SIM cards. The intent is to cover up the real crime, which is the Espionage Act violation. Nobody will talk about that tomorrow as they hyperventilate. That's what it's going to be all day. And it's going nowhere. You know, whatever it, you know, innuendo they have in there, which is guaranteed. There's not anything that rises to a level to warrant an indictment. That's it. Mueller already decided that, or else he would have indicted. You know, it's bad enough that the Democrats keep their, and the media propaganda, the psychosis that has engulfed media and Democrats in this country. They should be apologizing for being so wrong on Russia collusion. They should be. It never should have happened in the first place. But they're never going to go there. I mean, do we really think that the cowardly Schiff or Gerald Nadler, I want them all to come on this program. Maxine Waters, I'll give her 3 hours any day she wants. Adam Schiff, 3 hours. Nadler, 3 hours. Come on, let's go through this chapter and verse. And but they already have the greatest evidence that this is true, that they're in this position, is they're now moving on. And the evidence of that is now, oh, Sarah Carter actually broke this letter that Jim Jordan sent to the chairman, Elijah Cummings, about unprecedented subpoenas, et cetera, et cetera. We describe these memorandums of understanding as an agreement to conspire, coordinate their efforts to attack and investigate the president. Now, Jordan emphatically, by the way, objected to these secret memorandums of understanding, you know, excoriating Democrats. They didn't consult with Republican members of the committee. They didn't allow members to consider and debate the terms of the memorandum of understanding before they executed it. It was Chairman Cummings, Chairwoman Waters, and also Chairman Schiff, the cowardly Schiff. They didn't disclose it to any members or the American people until Jim Jordan had to find out about it, and he wrote a letter to Cummings to provide greater transparency around your secretive conduct. And by the way, if you intend to continue to use the committee's limited resources to attack President Trump for political gain, I hope you'll at least be transparent about your actions. Your ability to function as a fair, unbiased finder of the fact is now at grave risk. The members of the committee, and now more importantly, the American people we represent, deserve to know exactly how you're leading the committee. And then he has a series of questions. Well, how many of these memorandums of understanding are there? You know, what other chairperson signed on to the memorandum of understanding? You know what it's about? It's about going after Donald Trump on money, finances. They're on to the next conspiracy. They're on to the next witch hunt. This one didn't work out. Let's try another one. See if that works. Would you provide a detailed list of how many you've signed and what their dates? Who signed them? The topics? Why did you not publicly disclose that you signed memorandums of understanding to go after Trump? You know, will you publicly disclose them all? Why did you choose not to consult with Republican members? Have you signed them as chairman with any entities outside the House of Representatives to the extent that these memorandums create duties for committee in conflict for the rules of the House of Representatives on the Rules Committee? Which duties prevail? Rules Committee for the 116th Congress does not authorize chairman to bind the committee through memorandums of understanding. You know, I understand that your memorandum of understanding with Chairwoman Waters, you agreed to consult with her before issuing a subpoena. Do you intend to consult with Congresswoman Waters before or after you consult with me, as required by committee rules? If I object to your proposed subpoena, do you intend to consult with the Chairwoman Waters before or after the committee votes? Gotta be kidding me. All it is a never-ending witch hunt. That's it. This is all they got. This is what you've elected. People that don't care about safety, security, the things they cared about, DACA, Dreamers. They don't even care about, I believe, because now their silence is deafening in the case of the Attorney General of Virginia. By the way, it looks like AOC, at AOC on Twitter, is taking Bernie's advice on how to become a millionaire, because apparently she has inked a book deal. Apparently hired a top Hollywood talent agency and explored the possibility of writing a book. I think Congresswoman Omar already has a book deal. Creative Arts Agency. All right, so we can expect that book. By the way, Lindsey Graham, two other Senate committee chairmen, launch a probe into the FBI's Hillary email cover-up. You cannot get to equal justice under the law and application of our laws. You cannot talk about obstruction when Donald Trump did nothing except express, frankly, warranted frustration at what he had to live through. No collusion. The fourth time we found that conclusion, and not get frustrated at the never-ending distraction, and still he's governed at this high level. By the way, now Americans, they're not going to like that Donald Trump was spied on. I'm telling you, just buckle up. It's all coming. We haven't been wrong yet. Just wait for the circular firing squad, the behind-closed-door interviews coming out. They're all turning on each other. This is their last political rubber bullet that they're going to, you know, breathe hysterically over tomorrow. Then the criminal referrals, then the Barr investigation on spying and the conduct of those in the 2016 investigation of Trump from then forward, then the FISA warrants, then the Uber report, then FISA applications, then the rigged investigation. That's what Lindsey Graham is talking about, which is the right thing to do. You know, Grassley Graham, criminal referral, asked the DOJ to investigate direct contacts by Clinton operatives with Christopher Steele. Yeah, I'd like the answer to those questions, too. And that's all going to happen. It's all coming out. May not be the first and only article. The Washington Post says that Hannity's been right. I think there might be more. Linda's laughing. No, that's it? By one shot at glory?
I mean, I don't know. I was shocked by the first one.
I'm laughing. Somebody didn't do their job. Somebody messed up. Somebody's probably going to get fired over all of that by the time the day is done. Anyway, we got a lot to get to. All the Democrats now are scared to death of Bernie Sanders. You know, you got Beto O'Rourke saying, we're all going to have to sacrifice. He sounds like Jimmy Carter. We'll need to put our heat down and wear sweaters. We'll sacrifice on a scale of U.S. and World War II. Sacrifice. Once we give up oil and gas, no other country's going to give up oil and gas. We're done. Then he calls Trump a racist Islamophobe in defense of Omar and her anti-Semitic statements. And by the way, I noticed that Robert Francis Beto, let's see, only donated $1,166 to charity in 2018 when he made $370,412. Again, liberals are only generous with your money. And by the way, over the last 10 years, his donations exceeded 1% of his income only one of the 10 years. Wow. Unbelievable. So that's your party. But everyone's scared to death. New York Times. They're scared to death at the rise of Bernie. Pelosi's on defense over Democratic anti-Semitism in denial. We have, I guess, David Brock of Media Matters, or one time of Media Matters. I don't know what he does now, but a Clinton loyalist. You know, he's now building an organization to campaign to stop Bernie. Bad blood between Bernie and everybody else. I don't know. Why are they so scared of Bernie? I guess because they think he can win the primary. I don't see anybody that's going to beat Trump. Nobody. A lot can change. You never know. But right now, nope, not this extreme radical party that is not interested in governing this country, that is only interested in destroying a duly elected president who's made more progress in 2.5 years than their president on the Democratic side made in 8, undoing the total colossal failure and mess of Obama. Good luck running on that, Joe Biden.
I don't think that the congresswoman is anti-Semitic. I wouldn't even put those in the same category. I think,
but she's being accused of it.
Well, she's being accused of it, but I criticize the president for using a video of 9/11 as a political tool. I think he was wrong to do that.
I think the president is bankrupt of any ideas. I don't want to talk about the president here because I'm overseas. Mm-hmm. come see me in Washington, D.C., and I'll tell you what I think about that, and the president. But no, I because the we are not. We have no taint of that and the Democratic Party. And just because they want to accuse somebody of that doesn't mean that we take that bait.
Honestly, I've never felt more Palestinian than I ever felt in Congress. Even in Palestine, when I'm visiting my grandmother, I'm more American, like to the Palestinian. But I'm more Palestinian in the halls of Congress than I am anywhere in the country in the world.
We come from a broken family. We're a teenager. We're, you know, we're a little unsettled, and having good parents, you know, is tough. You know, sometimes you spend weekends with divorced dad, and that feels like it's fun, but then you get sick. That's what America's going through. We're kind of living with divorced dad right now.
CARE was founded after 9/11. Because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
I think what we're really seeing is the ascent of authoritarianism across the world. I think that Netanyahu is a Trump-like figure.
Would you be in favor of reducing military or economic aid to Israel?
I mean, I think it's on the table.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity show. That, you know, it's just nothing but insanity and madness that we get. Oh, not a taint of anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party. Not at all. Really? Michelle Obama, the U.S. under Trump is like living with a divorced dad. So let me just tell you something. I know more divorced dads. I don't know why people get divorced at the level they do. I don't think anybody has any clue what goes on behind closed doors. And then you have some of the best fathers I know. Linda, you know John Gomez, my best friend from third grade. He
Amazing person.
Right. And you know his daughter, Jackie, who just got married.
Beautiful young
the
lady.
The sweetest girl in the world. And as a the best stepdad I've ever met in my life. I mean, just amazing relationships. I mean, what is that? Where is that cut coming from? Oh, these guys that show up every other Saturday for 10 minutes and watch football. I mean, what is that?
Maybe the Obamas aren't as happy as they portray.
Well, whatever. All part of the insanity. What we have going on in the 2020 campaign, by the way, hour two, Sean Hannity show, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. You've got Hillary's top media ally now organizing to stop Bernie Sanders before it's too late. That's David Brock now is openly saying it. There's a growing realization Sanders could end up winning this thing, or certainly that he stays in so long he damages the actual winner, which the Clintons hate Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders would have won the primary against Hillary had they not cheated and the superdelegates. And now the rules have been changed, so they're scared to death now more of Bernie than ever. But it is a real battle that is happening. And it's also the Stop Sanders Democrats agonizing over his momentum. And Sanders, you know, I mean, say what you will about the guy. He's out there fighting. And you got, of course, the insanity of the other candidates. Eric, what's his name? Swalwell? He's now saying, oh, the Second Amendment, he wants gun confiscation. He wants everybody to hand over their guns that he chooses that are deemed too powerful. You know, no, not one of these people can tell you what the difference is between, quote, an assault weapon or an AR-15, except for cosmetic reasons that they don't even understand, nor have they ever shot these weapons. It's ridiculous. Then the battle over reparations. Then, of course, late term and during birth and after birth infanticide and abortion and murder, frankly. So that battle is going on. Then you got the intramural battle with AOC and let's see, Congresswoman Omar and Tlaib, and they're standing up against Pelosi. Pelosi finally, you know, trying to fight back, but she knows that they have enough power to destroy her speakership. Anyway, joining us now, Kayleigh McEnany, National Press Secretary, Trump 2020 campaign. Jeff Lord, of course, his new book is coming out soon, Swamp Wars, Donald Trump and the New American Populism Against the Old Order. Welcome both of you to the program. Good to hear from you both. I'm watching what has now become a circular firing squad in the deep state. And now after they after they finally shoot their last rubber bullet that's going to fail on Thursday with the reveal of the Mueller report, Jeff. Then they're already turning to taxes and memorandum of understanding between different chairmen, Maxine Waters and Chairman Cummings, and also, of course, the cowardly Schiff. So, you know, if Donald Trump cured cancer and gave every American $5 million and embraced their radical new Green Deal, they still would hate him.
You know, I think back to before we were around, Sean, and Harry Truman campaigned against the Republican do-nothing Congress in 1948, I believe it was, and, of course, won in an upset. What these all these activities that these people are involved in here currently that you've just named, among others, they're doing that rather than, say, infrastructure bills where they could work with the president. They're doing that rather than, say, trying to fix health care. What they're doing is frankly, I think, very damaging to themselves. And the president is well aware of exactly how bad this has gotten, and he will make this an issue. He will take it right to him, and he should.
By the way, and the president wins because he keeps fighting for his agenda, even in the midst of a 2.5-year witch hunt. You know, Kaylee, we know what tomorrow is. Tomorrow is, well, Donald Trump, well, he didn't commit collusion, so we were wrong on that for 2.5 years, but obstruction maybe, because he openly talked about firing Mueller. He openly talked about a witch hunt. He openly talked about, firing Sessions or Rosenstein, or wishing and hoping and praying that a 33-year veteran who served his country in times of war, General Flynn, I hope nothing happens to him. But at the end of the day, he did none of that. Nothing. Just like the deep state talks about, oh, let's invoke the 25th Amendment and let's tape Donald Trump in the Oval Office when he doesn't know it. They didn't do that either. They just thought about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, President Trump has done nothing wrong. We already know the conclusion before tomorrow's report even comes. We know that Mueller himself said no collusion, as you noted. We know that Barr himself said no obstruction. President Trump has been completely...
Rod Rosenstein said it in the Department of... the whole department went over this. Legal counsel went over this.
Absolutely. And the Democrats used to love Rod Rosenstein up until about 3 to 4 weeks ago when he exonerated the president. So tomorrow, you're right, the media will take this out of context. They'll distort it. But we have to keep our eye on the ball. Now it's time to investigate the liars, investigate the investigators who started this 3-year witch hunt, who spied on President Trump's campaign, who unmasked people, who used human sources, who wiretapped. It's time to turn the game, investigate the investigators. That is where the wrongdoing lies, and we won't take our focus off of that as a campaign.
Can you imagine, Jeffrey Lord, I'm still in a state of shock. The Washington Post prints an article from a contributing columnist based out of Hillsborough, Ohio. Admit it, Fox News has been right all along. And, there were very few of us. And we built a team, frankly, an ensemble team that I'm extraordinarily proud of. Everybody that works on this radio show is a part of it, as well as everybody that works on my TV show. And I'm not going to mention every name because I'm going to forget some people that were part of the ensemble. You were part of the ensemble as well, Jeff. But those of us that said, no, what the media is saying is false. There's no evidence. These are anonymous sources. This is breathless hysteria. They're out to get Trump. And we were proven right. And now we're about to get proven more right than we ever dreamed, because all of the evidence is now sitting and waiting and will be revealed in pretty short order.
Well, that's right. This was, and I say this in my new book, Swamp Wars, this was a silent coup. The old novel and movie 7 Days in May about an attempt of the military to take over and unseat a president of the United States. This was exactly that, except it was done by bureaucrats in the FBI and the Department of Justice, and I suspect John Brennan had a hand in this over at the CIA. This is what this was all about. It's incredible, you know, banana republic stuff. It's very dangerous. And so I think that we're finally going to get to the bottom of this. But you were 100% right, as were all of these people, that this ensemble cast that you've had on your show. And that op-ed, and I almost fell
out
of
my chair. I didn't know you read it. I mean, I'm reading this thing, and I'm saying, no, this must be some other newspaper.
Yeah, exactly.
This didn't get past a Washington Post editor. Saying that, especially Hannity had it right from the beginning.
Well,
I'm
exactly
like, wow.
Right. And I have to tell you, this was exactly what mirrors my experience right here in the middle of Pennsylvania. I mean, when I go around and people stop me, I got stopped this morning when I was out grocery shopping. You know, people love
it. By the way, let me ask you a question. Do you get what I get? I was shopping last week, and I go grocery shopping every week. Every week it happens the same thing. Why are you here? And I'm like, look at me. I like to eat. And they're like, no, really, why are you here? And I'm like, to buy food. And people can't believe, I like grocery shopping. I like cooking. Does that make me a bad person?
It makes you in touch with a common person.
I mean,
it's a good thing.
My father made me go grocery shopping with him every Friday night because he did the shopping. And to keep me out of trouble on Friday nights, I had to go with him. I'm actually a great shopper. I know exactly what's on the list, and I go for it really fast. But you know something? As we watch this unfold, Kaylee, this is what's going to happen. Now we have 53, we know, undisclosed, closed-door session testimonies that are given by these deep state members that are now creating a circular firing squad. They're all turning on each other. We have the criminal referrals of Nunes. We have Barr's investigation. Yeah, there was real spying, as we had Andy McCarthy on this program and on TV last night. So we'll get to that. Horowitz and his FISA investigation is coming out in pretty short order, the Uber investigation. Then we're still going to get to the FISA applications themselves. The bulk of information is Hillary's bought and paid for phony Russian dossier. Then we got 302s, Gang of Eight. And very clearly now, this is moving in a direction that this rigged investigation into Hillary Clinton, who had committed a real crimes, real felonies, violating the Espionage Act with top secret and classified information on that private server, and with the intent, she took 33,000 subpoenaed emails, erased them, and then used bleach bit, and then busted up her devices and removed SIM cards. This is now going to flip. It is going to be the biggest boomerang 180 I think the media and the Democratic Party have ever witnessed in their life.
Oh, that's exactly right. And we heard Attorney General Barr testify just last week. He said there was a failure among a group of leaders at the upper echelon of the FBI. He also said, I think spying did occur. We know spying did occur. I've watched you, Sean, break it down, put the timeline out there of all the spying that occurred dating back to the summer of 2016.
Stefan Halper went after Papadopoulos, Carter Page, Sam Clovis. Then we have, of course, the FISA abuse fraud committed upon a court to get a backdoor into all things Trump campaign, and then also to bludgeon the president with that phony dossier.
Exactly. And then the hundreds of unmasking requests that revealed the identities of Trump officials. And then you have Peter Strzok's text to Lisa Page saying, we have an insurance plan against the president, all the while knowing there's, quote, no there there. We have got to get to the bottom of this. When the intelligence departments of the U.S. government are weaponized to attack a political campaign, that should be a headline on every newspaper. Unfortunately, it's not been. And a lot of credit to you for putting a spotlight on
that. I'm not looking for credit.
Long ago.
Let me tell you one thing, and I'll tell you after the break. This is not by accident that we get things right, and it's not tooting our own horn. I wish it didn't happen. I don't like to ever talk about, as Joe DiGenova says, and he's right, but it stings every time he says it, bad cops. And there's not a lot of them. There's a few of them, but they were at the upper levels of power within the DOJ and FBI. But there's a reason we get things right, and I'll explain that on the other side. But listen, on a scale of 1 to 100, how does the media react to the Mueller report tomorrow?
On a scale of 1 to 100, they'll make it 1,000. They'll find something in there, and they will try and magnify it, and they will lose in doing so.
Kaylee.
That's exactly right. You're going to watch a coordinated effort where the media echoes the DNC talking points all across the network. Absolutely apoplectic scale of 1,000, as Jeff suggested.
All right. Thank you both for being with us, Kaylee McEnany and also Jeff Lord. When we come back, wide open telephones and much, much more. Later on, Bill O'Reilly will join us as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. All right, that's Candace Owens. That's what she faced as she went courageously to speak on a college campus, this time in Pennsylvania. You had student groups all aligning, the Penn Association for Gender Equality, Lambda Alliance, United Minorities Council, denouncing Candace Owens, who's a conservative in her ideology, and criticizing her opposition to the Black Lives Matter movement, which, by the way, we have tapes of members of Black Lives Matter chanting, "What do we want dead cops? When do we want them now?" You know, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon.
Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Pigs in a blanket.
Anyway, minutes before the event starts, some of what you just heard there, you have even Philadelphia Antifa wearing ski masks and bandanas all gathering on the college green and shouting F you Candace Owens and F the police and protesting just the fact that you had a different voice, different point of view on a college campus. Among things, Candace Owens has said that African-Americans in America are being misled by the Democratic Party. I think, look, you had America's first African-American president, had 8 years in office, and he added 13 million more Americans to food stamps, 8 million more to poverty, had the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, worst recovery since the 40s, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years, only president ever not to reach 3% GDP in his time as president, and doubled the debt, took on more debt than every other president before him combined. Well, disproportionately, minorities in America were negatively impacted by those policies. Here's Donald Trump 2+ years later. Record low unemployment. African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workforce, youth unemployment. And I can go on for another hour. But that would take away time from Candace Owens, who joins us now. You know, I pay very close attention to the things you say, and one thing you did very well in this particular event, in spite of all that hate, you were extraordinarily polite in your interactions with those people that were getting in your face. It could be a very threatening situation. And one thing I'll just offer unsolicited advice. I hope you always have security with you, because there are some crazy people at all these events. But more importantly, when you talk about this entire movement, you call it the Blexit movement. It's something that is that I have over the years. Remember, I'm 30 years in radio. I'm a little older, and 23 years on Fox, and it's been very frustrating to me to see such a low percentage of the African-American community vote for conservative policies, and in part because I know they work for every American, which is what I want. And it's now being proved on steroids and human growth hormone. And I think there does come a point where every 2 and 4 years, when Democrats predictably say that Republicans are racist and sexist and homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, want dirty air, water, they want kids to die and throw granny over the cliff. In the case of African-Americans, I do believe that when people see the opportunities, the policies that work, and begin to understand the history of the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, I believe that this is something that can happen for the conservative movement. Policies that are good for everybody.
That's absolutely correct. And look, I say this because I come from a position where I was that typical Black American who believed that Republicans were racist. Sean, if you had asked me 3 years ago, just 3 years ago, you know, what do you think about Republicans? I would have said they're racist. What do you think about Fox News? It's a network full of racists. So this ignorance that we're talking about that has descended in the Black community has nothing to do it has more to do with the fact that they're brainwashing us via the education system. That is what we are proactively learning in school. These disastrous strict public, disastrous public schools, they're teaching us our history wrong. No one ever mentions the fact that Republicans saved us at every point in history. By the time you get a high school diploma as a Black American, you are certain that at every point in history, the Democrats saved you and the Republicans tried to block it. And that could not be further from the truth. So I consider the Blexit movement almost a re-education program for Black Americans to get involved and to embrace their futures and to learn the truth about the sick and twisted and racist history of the Democrat Party.
You know, I know the defined and expressed movement of Blexit. It's basically it's aimed at African Americans to exit the Democratic Party and vote Republican. I want to be very clear. I'm not a registered Republican either, and I'm not that fond of some Republicans, especially the ones that have no vision, no backbone. Their legs buckle anytime that it comes to fulfilling a campaign promise like repealing Obamacare, protecting our borders. You know, a lot of these people, they're just afraid of their own shadow. But anybody right. that's going to institute the conservative policies of that would secure our borders, that ends burdensome regulation like the president has done on energy, big example, that unleashes the tax burden on the American people, lets people keep more of their money, incentivizes business to build factories and manufacturing centers here. Those are all jobs for Americans. The energy sector alone, Candace, is going to create hundreds of thousands of high-paying career jobs for all Americans. We are going to be wealthy. Every American can be wealthy if we would just tap that one resource.
Right, and that's exactly right, and that's what I advocate for. So I want to be clear. I have never told a single person to register as a Republican. You know, I consider myself an independent, and I support this president, and I'm very vocal about my support of this president for all the reasons that you just listed. And the number one reason being that he's decreasing our government dependency. We're talking about independence, the ability to go after the American dream, something that we were really losing under Obama's leadership. And I hate to even use the word leadership. You know, we were losing this country. We were on the brink of losing that American dream and losing the jobs, and everything was going overseas. That's what we talk about, things that are actually impacting Black America specifically. And I'll tell you one thing, it sure is not white supremacy or white nationalism or white people that has been keeping us out of the American dream. I think it's the culture of victimhood that has descended on my community, and it's like a plague keeping us from our futures.
All right, quick break. We'll come back more with Candace Owens on the other side. Also, Bill O'Reilly at the top of the next hour.
It's just a typical love song. But the title is called Mama, I Fell in Love with a Jew. It's something different. It's the same, but different. And I'm gonna need your help to sing it with me. When I say something like, let's try. Can I go like, oh, I'm in love with a Jew. I fell in love with a Jew. That's all you have to say. I'm in love with a Jew. I fell in love with a Jew. All right? Then I'll continue and say, her skin is white and my skin is brown. She was going up, up. I was going down. Right? Let's go. It all happens in the elevator. True story. Not real names. Not real events. So let's try it together because I need your help. I cannot be at this medical alone. Oh, I'm in love with a Jew. Guys, when I say, oh, I need to say I'm in love with a Jew. Let's try it again. Oh,
I'm in love with a Jew.
I fell in love with a Jew. Her skin is white and my skin is brown. She was going up, up, I was going down. Oh,
I'm in love with a Jew.
Yes.
You want to hit me? I'll shoot you. and then there's the get the that's my friend.
Right, as we continue with Candace Owens and all that she went through yesterday, is this happening everywhere, or do you find that in some instances on some college campuses that your message is received warmly?
It actually is received warmly in the end. So what you don't see is that we get into these rooms, like at the University of Pennsylvania, for example, there were about, I would say, 20 Black Lives Matter people that actually sat through my entire program. At the end of it, they came up to me and they said, I'm finding it really difficult to disagree with you. I said, great, join the Blexit movement. And I told them this, if you changed your t-shirt, they're all wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts. I said, if you change what Black Lives Matter was about, if you started talking about abortion, if you started talking about actually saving black lives, 17 million black babies being aborted, right? I'd put on one of those t-shirts tomorrow. But do not believe in this myth that police brutality is somehow infecting or impacting our community negatively. And that's how my movement grows. I go right into the fire and I talk to these people about real issues.
You know, and that's the thing. And I do see a movement in the country, and I think we see it especially with the economic prosperity of the president. Are you finding that this is really a stronger movement than people are seeing, that maybe the polls are picking up?
Oh, 100%. And they know it. They absolutely know it.
That's why they're afraid of you, I guess. Because
yeah,
there is a fear.
Our Blexit rallies are sold out. Every place we've done it, it's been sold out. We're sold out this month in Dallas, April 28th. We can't get venues, you know, big enough. And it's because people, what we are selling, it just feels better. I'm saying to Black America, we can do it. We deserve this. We should have a piece of this dream. What is the left offering, Sean? What is the left saying to them? You can't do anything. You're never going to be anything. Here's more handouts. You know, you've been failing because of this. That messaging doesn't even feel good. We're talking about real empowerment. We're talking about patriotism, which actually knows no skin tone, no skin complexion, and no gender. It just feels better, and it's starting to seep in, and I'm so proud to be a part of such a, you know, impactful movement in this country.
Well, I hope that that continues. Now, what are your plans for the future? Because I think your future is bright, and your voice is powerful, and you've really been having a huge impact on young people, which I think is, you know, heartwarming for a guy like me, an old guy like me. But why are you laughing? Why don't you just call me Grandpa? I heard that. You were thinking, what? I tried to be nice to you. I tried to help. I mean, I really am a fan.
You're an old guy. You're not an old guy. You're so young. What are your plans for your future?
I have no idea. I haven't planned a day ahead of my life one single day. I have no idea. Well, you know, I wake up in the morning. I look at my calendar. That's it. And I know I have radio and TV, at least for now. Although a lot of people would shut me down, too, if they could. So what are your plans, though? What would you like to do? Have you thought into the future a little bit?
No. One foot in front of the other every day. You know, my heart is with Black America. My heart is, I've always believed that there could be this mass awakening in my community. You know, I've lived through it. I've seen what Democrat policies have done to my family firsthand. And I want to see this awakening. I want to crack the black vote in 2020. And beyond that, who knows? You know, we make plans and God laughs at them.
All right, Candace Owens, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate all that you do. We wish you the very best. I'm sorry that you have been through so much pain in the course of expressing your views. And I hope you continue and wish you a great, bright future. I think you have that ahead of you. It'll be fun to watch it.
Thank you so much, Sean.
All right, God bless. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Bill O'Reilly at the top of the hour. We'll ask him about this, what he thinks of the Mueller report, and more straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
Get the out of Billy! Get the out! I'm Ami Horowitz, and I'm here on the campus of the University of North Carolina, where UNC and Duke are holding a joint conference on the conflict in Gaza. So I came here to get a sense of the perspectives of the people attending the conference. This was a major conference with hundreds of students, professors, and administrators who spent a weekend bashing Israel and whitewashing the terrorist organization Hamas. If it only stopped there. This is a professor who I asked about her views on the spate of attacks in New York by black teens on Jews and synagogues.
Blacks have a lot of also reason to be angry at Jews now.
U.S. government dollars. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You guys, not you guys. Jewish lobbyists are very rich.
Look at the treatment of Ethiopian Jews, right? Jews that are supposedly in the club, but they're Ethiopian. They're black. They're refugees who come to Israel, assuming it's, you know, it's a Jewish state, have actually been sterilized in the past.
Or you're telling me that the Jewish government sterilized Ethiopian Jews coming into Israel?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Just days after the conference, swastikas were found on campus. 38 of the largest departments and schools at the University of North Carolina sponsored this event. It also got a federal grant of nearly $250,000.
All right, that's Ami Horowitz, who we featured last week on this program, going to a conference, UNC Duke, and virulent anti-Semitism on display there. And before that, it was Michael Knowles, and now the latest victim, Candace Owens, who we had on Hannity last night. I mean, she goes to the college hall and she's giving a speech, and, you know, co-hosted by college Republicans. And anyway, Owens, you know, is outspoken. She's talking about the Me Too movement and saying that African-Americans are being misled by the Democratic Party. Before the event even starts, you have all of these different aligned groups, Antifa included, Philadelphia Antifa, wearing masks and bandanas and gathered on the college green shouting F Candace Owens, F the police, and it becomes a total, you know, mess for her and a threat to her on campus. Not uncommon for any conservative that speaks on any college campus today. So whatever happened to the free exchange of ideas and opinions and thought on college campuses looks pretty dead in around most of the campuses today. Bill O'Reilly is with us, the author of 15 number one best-selling books, his Killing series, and his latest, of course, is doing phenomenally well. He also is in the works of writing a book, Donald Trump, The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America. And he has a column out today about how these college administrators know that they have to keep order to keep their jobs, and they are really no longer institutions of higher learning and places where you do have free exchange of ideas, where that's encouraged. Mr. O'Reilly, how are you, sir?
Good. I'm hanging tough. How are you doing, Sean?
We're doing good. By the way, did you see the Washington Post declaring Sean Hannity has been right all along?
I did.
Can you believe it?
That. And that's
it must have been a misprint.
I went down there and had a talk with him, so that's why they did it.
Oh, so you went down and argued on my behalf that Hannity has been
Barron,
right?
You know, that very reasonable editor of the Washington Post. I said, hey, Marty, look, let's go to lunch. Went to the old Ebbets Grill. I said, look, you know, Hannity's been right, so let's get an op-ed up there. And he said, sure, Bill. How are you?
Sure, Bill.
You doing well?
Yeah.
That's how it went down.
Would you like to join our editorial staff? Yeah, come on.
The column I wrote that you mentioned is on BillO'Reilly.com. It's called Propaganda U. And here's how it works so everybody understands, because I and you, we're both paying tuition, you know, for urchins to go to college and unbelievable costs. So people should know what they're getting into. Every college is a board of directors. And the board of directors is directly responsible for hiring and firing administrators, not teachers. Teachers, a lot of college teachers have tenure. Tenure means you can't get fired. But the administrators don't have that. So in many, many places, the college board of directors, and this is extended to places like Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee, conservative places in the country, they are very liberal people. And they now are demanding two things, inclusion, and that's an interesting word because not everybody is included in inclusion, and diversity. So above all, the chancellors of the universities have to prove themselves to be champions of inclusion and diversity. And how they do that is they let their campuses run wild to the far left. And that's what's going on.
It's a hostility, though, that is, it's always been there. I mean, go back to the Bill Bennett days and Bill Buckley days and other prominent conservatives at the time, and they faced some type of criticism, some protest, but I don't think it's ever been this bad to the point where it's almost become impossible in many instances for conservatives to ever even get to giving the speech on campus.
Well, that's because they only hire far-left professors and administrators. 90% in recent studies of college teachers are liberal. And they may not be bomb-throwing far-left liberal, but they're certainly not going to vote for Donald Trump. So if the election were only held among college professors and administrators, Trump would lose to anybody 90 to 10. Now, in the Vietnam era, that's when I was at college, at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York, there were radical leftists, and they caused a lot of trouble by burning down buildings and occupying and yelling and screaming and all of that. But it wasn't the campus policy to allow them to do it. So there was a tension. Now there is no tension. It's you can do whatever you want if you're a far-left loon. But if you object to the lunacy, then you are a bigot. So you're interfering with inclusion and diversity. So we don't want you here. Get off campus. So much so that the President of the United States had to sign an executive order that said, if colleges do not allow freedom of speech, you're not going to get any federal money. Now, the media didn't report on that. I know you did. But the media didn't report that executive order. That's how bad this is in America today.
Let me ask you your thoughts. This Mueller report is out tomorrow. This is we've had 2.5 years, Bill, of nonstop, never-ending tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. We already know from the March 24th, 2019 letter of the Attorney General William Barr, he actually quotes the Mueller report as it relates to, quote, Russian interference and collusion. And it says the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. So the collusion lie is what it is. And it is, to me, it should be the end of anybody putting any faith, hope and trust in the big networks or fake news, CNN or conspiracy TV, MSNBC or The Post or The Times. But I assume they're going to pick out a couple of lines like, oh, Donald Trump talked about firing Mueller. Donald Trump wanted to fire Sessions. Donald Trump fired Comey. Even Comey said he could be fired for any reason at all or no reason at all. Donald Trump talked about that. But Donald Trump didn't do anything like the deep state talked about. Oh, recording a sitting president and surveilling him without a warrant, and also the 25th Amendment trying to invoke that, but they didn't do it. Where does this land? Because this is the final rubber bullet in their gun. I think it lands flat.
Yeah, I mean, Boris Marty releases it on Holy Thursday, then we have Good Friday Passover, and then the story, who's going to be watching? Nobody. But this is all about saving face. Now, if you know Eastern culture, the most important thing for Asians is not to be embarrassed publicly.
Right.
So the networks and the media operations in America have been embarrassed publicly.
So I don't do they ever lose
made a lot of money?
Do they ever lose the branding of Trump saying they're fake news? I don't think it goes away ever because he's been proven correct.
Yeah, but they have to. But this ties right into the Mueller report. So they're not going to come out and say, we were wrong, we're sorry, and we'll try to do better next time. We'll try to be fair and examine the story as it unfolds, not root for a certain outcome, which is what they did. They're not going to do that. They're going to try to latch on to anything in the Mueller report that justifies their erroneous and unfair reporting for the last 2 years. But the good news is Americans have had enough. So there's not going to be any audience for it. If you look at the television ratings, and I'm sure you do because you're now the top-rated cable show.
Yeah, by the way, you can have that distinction back anytime
but I'm too old now.
I actually want you to have it because then you'll take all the crap I'm taking, and I'm sick of it.
I really want to get back into that hate swamp. But if you
I'll leave it to
ratings,
you. Thanks a lot. I'm inviting you back, and you won't take my invitation.
Yeah, I know you are. It's so,
Misery loves Bill.
Back,
misery
so
loves
company. Give me all time, let me know.
Misery loves company. Go ahead.
Yeah. But CNN and MSNBC have lost, I don't know, 30-40% of their audience in the last 3 weeks?
That's correct.
So they're not going to get it back, and no matter what they do. So it's like a spoiled kid after you punish him, and then he comes out and he starts wailing, "Why'd you do that to me?" You know, it's like, okay, no one's listening to you. And so that's the good news, that no matter what they do or gin up, not going to have any effect on the country. But here's what will. On BillO'Reilly.com on Monday, we had Joe DiGenova on. You've had him on many times. Very smart U.S. attorney, former U.S. attorney in D.C. He guarantees, Hannity, guaranteed that the Inspector General report, Horowitz, is going to come back with referrals for
criminal
indictments.
Referrals. Yes, that's all true.
Referrals for indictments.
Hey, Bill, it's Bill. There's going to be you're going to have the Horowitz report. You're getting the Hoover report. You're getting 53 more undisclosed, behind-closed-door testimonies out. You've got a real investigation now into the investigators and Hillary's rigged investigation because she did commit crimes and obstruct crimes.
But it even goes further than that because once you start to indict and arrest, a number of those people are going to flip.
They're already flipping. You can see it in the few. Doug Collins, the congressman from Georgia, his release of the Orrs, Nellie and Bruce, and Strzok and Page, and more recently, James Baker. We're seeing it. All right, stay right there. Bill O'Reilly is with us. Quick break. BillO'Reilly.com for all things O'Reilly. Quick break. Right back. Your calls on the other side of this break in the bottom half hour. All right, as we continue with Bill O'Reilly, who's with us, BillO'Reilly.com. All right, last question. What do you think of these 2020 candidates? And they're all seemingly now first turned on Biden. Now they're turning on Bernie.
I don't think the field is very strong at this point. When I see a guy like Beto O'Rourke and his wife making close to $400,000 a year and giving $1,000 to charity, and then a college kid asks him about it and he's got no answer, that's not good.
He could have said, I'm just cheap. Well, he could have done what Bill Clinton did and give his used underwear, write that off.
You know, it's a matter of, look, if you're going to beat Donald Trump, and I know this better than anybody on the planet, because I'm writing this book even as we speak, I mean, this is a tough guy. And Trump's a tough guy. And you can hit him 15 different ways, and he doesn't rock.
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
So, if you're going to beat him and the economy is strong...
Good luck.
It's going to be tough. So the Democrats better have more than the Green New Deal, and we want to be socialists.
Bill, you want to ride a bike to work every day, right? You're going to get it in your sailboat and, you know, sail on over to Europe. Why do we need airplanes? And you don't like beef
wagon. I got it going. So I'm already going down Northern Boulevard on Long Island in that covered wagon waving.
No, but he's headed to the Miracle Mile. That's what he means by that. All right, Bill O'Reilly .com is where you can get things all O'Reilly and more. Bill, great to have you on. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it. Bye.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. The phones and the other news of the day next. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, big show. You don't want to miss it. A preview of the Mueller madness. Straight ahead.
We come from a broken family. We're a teenager. We're a little unsettled and, having good parents, is tough. Sometimes you spend weekends with divorced dad and that feels like it's fun, but then you get sick. That's what America's going through. We're kind of living with divorced dad. Right?
For the first time in my adult life, I am proud of my country because it feels like hope is finally making a comeback.
Let me tell you something. For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country.
All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. That was former First Lady Michelle Obama. I guess she was in England promoting her book, and Stephen Colbert flew across the pond. I assume they didn't sail over as envisioned by Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, and they're making the comments, well, it's like we have a divorced dad, and it's great, but then it's horrible. Linda, you were just apoplectic about that remark. Why such a visceral reaction?
I mean, first of all, I just want her to be quiet. You know, the woman started a program for food in schools that nobody ate, where we spent millions of dollars and kids went hungry and food went to waste.
Well, don't worry. That's nothing compared to the guaranteed government healthy food that is part of the new Green Deal plan. Guaranteed.
What is it? Meatless Mondays here with de Blasio?
Well, that's we have in New York, for those that don't know. We have Meatless Mondays. Yeah. And the kids love it. And I know it's the right thing to do because Sean Hannity hates it. That's what he tweeted out.
Yeah. I just love how the tolerant left, the most accepting liberal people in our world, have nothing better to do than to crack on everyone else. I mean, these people are the most intolerant, disrespectful. It's insane. You know, divorce is hard enough. Now you're going to make fun of, well, what if mom gets the visitation rights on the weekends? Well, now is it living with divorce mom?
Custody, I mean, if you go back, you know, a couple of decades ago, it was always given to the mom, almost always. And that has changed dramatically. And I guess they have joint custody is the term that is used. And you have, you know, equal time shared among both parents. You're right. It's hard enough for kids to go through that. But it also happens at least, 50-55% of first time marriages. So
yeah,
it's really...
and she's making fun of it. She's making a joke about it because her husband did such a great job. Oh, your husband, the junior senator who voted 191 times not present while he was in his first year of office. That guy. Oh, yeah. He did a great job.
No, but it's insulting to all either stepdads or divorced dads that literally I know people, for example, that had great career opportunities that were divorced, but they stayed in whatever city they happened to live in, bypassing the opportunity of a lifetime in some cases for the sake of their children so they could be around and raise their kids and be responsible. Now, you do have deadbeat dads and you have some deadbeat moms. So
there's deadbeat parents in general. But to say that, you know, basically what happened, Michelle got sent a timeout. She's not happy right now. She's in timeout. She's not allowed to participate. And President Trump is telling her she can't have her way. So she's having a temper tantrum.
It's just anytime you get those broad sweeping generalizations, I don't care if it's about any particular group of people, or I don't care if it's along gender lines. It's pretty fascinating that these comments often come from those that most embrace identity politics as political fodder in campaigns. But I mean, it happens all of the time. I mean, we see it. We see the race card played every 2 and 4 years by the Democratic Party. We see the gender card. I mean, poor Mitt Romney, you know, God forbid, he had resumes of women in binders that he wanted to look at their resumes so he could hire them. And look at what they ripped him apart over that. But the double standard exists, just like I don't hear any I believers screaming about or talking about what happened with the lieutenant governor of Virginia was being accused of rape and violent sexual assault. I watched both interviews of Gayle King and I'm like aghast because those women seem believable. Certainly, I don't rush to judgment. I believe in due process and presumption of innocence like I have in all of these cases. But all those people, I guess they only care about such things if it's a Republican related to Trump. I mean, it's the same with immigration. It's the same with, you know, do they really care? Tomorrow they're going to be screaming about obstruction of justice, but nobody will mention the single biggest slam dunk case on obstruction of justice, which is Hillary and her email server and BleachBit and deletions and hammers. And so I find that whole thing frustrating.
Well, I also think one thing that we should talk about as well as we start, I'm not sure we'll talk about it a lot, but as we gin up for all of these different, you know, campaign trail folks, you know, and they're out there, you know, like Bozo, who now can't explain why he hasn't donated more, and him being at the events is enough because it's time away from his children. And I'm not disagreeing with that. You know, we all have to go to work and spend time away from our children. Like, you know, this is the line of work you've chosen, Bozo. Like, why should we feel, you know, grateful or sorry for you? It should be, okay, this is what you want to do. Well, this is what's, you know, entailed in trying to get it. And it's like, you know, now he doesn't want to show his tax returns. He doesn't want to show his charitable donations. And then he has to show them because he said that he would. Bernie's the same way. Bernie's like, oh, yeah, let's tax everybody more. Okay, well, you start first. Let's start with you. You're the one running.
Well,
they're all full of it.
By the way, you watch Beto Bozo. Now, he talks first. He's talking about the Green New Deal, says it will spur sacrifice on the scale of the U.S. in World War II. We don't need to sacrifice our lifestyles for your, you know, hysterical belief in global temperatures when we have done more than any other country in the last 15 years to reduce carbon emissions. No other country is going to participate in this Green New Deal insanity. They're not giving up oil and gas. They're not giving up their combustion engines and their factories. And they're certainly not going to give up airplanes and cows in the process. So that's number one. And then, you know, Beto O'Rourke goes out calling Trump a racist Islamophobe, defending Congresswoman Omar's anti-Semitism and her comments about 9/11. It was great yesterday to watch a college kid asking Bozo, Robert Francis O'Rourke, and, you know, why did he give less to charity than a recent college grad? Because he only gave apparently $1,000 and he made plenty of money that year.
I have questions. You just released your tax returns. I was talking to my sister about this, and we were wondering why, as someone who earns seven times the amount of income as she, a recent college graduate, does, gives less in charitable donations than she does.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Yeah. There are charities that we donate to that we've recorded and itemized, others that we donated to that we have not. But I'll tell you, I'm doing everything I can right now, spending this time with you, not with our kiddos, not back home in El Paso, because I want to sacrifice everything to make sure that we meet this moment of truth with everything that we've got. So,
gave $1,166 to charity during the 2018 tax year on a reported income of $370,412. And by the way, in the last 10 years, his donations exceeded only 1% of his income, only one of those years. And I'm thinking, it fits in perfectly. How many times have I said on this radio program, liberals are only generous with other people's money, period. They don't care about, you know, Nancy Pelosi lives in one of the richest enclaves in San Francisco, net worth tens and tens of millions of dollars. Outside of that walled, gated community, though, we sent our cameras and, you know, people, homeless people are all over the place. Needles are all over the streets. Feces all over the streets. And could she not go talk to all her millionaire friends and build a shelter on their own without federal government assistance and give the people that need help drug treatment and a hot meal and a shower and a place to lay their head at night besides and a bathroom so they don't have to go to the bathroom on the streets?
But see, that's the whole point, Sean. And this is the irony of the Democrats, right? So it's the tolerant left. It's, you know, we want to help everybody. We want to save the world. We want to go green. We want to give everybody shelter and everybody's going to have health care and free college education. Okay, you start first.
And daycare.
And daycare. You're right. Everybody has to get
they're
a job.
Not gonna
and
start,
an apartment.
They're not ever going to. This is, you know, and these promises, the thing that bothers me is that there is an appeal to some people that they actually believe these politicians. You know, the greatest, latest example is keep your doctor, your plan, and save money. None of those promises were kept. Now, you won't even have a choice of a private health care provider if Bernie, Kamala Harris, or any of these lunatics get elected. And worse than that, okay, we're going to have a wealth tax from Elizabeth Warren. That's you get taxed after you've been taxed. I mean, that's license stealing. They want to write
right, but
laws.
We got to hold them accountable, Sean. We have to get people.
Sean is trying. Sean is working very
Sean
hard.
Sean is working very
Even
hard.
Hold on. Washington Post recognizes and declares Fox News has been right all along. You do know that they said that, right?
I do know that. I'm assuming they must have had a cocktail party right before they all went back to their desk to write their articles.
I have no idea. By the way, this will not happen ever again. This is a one-time effort. I need to get this framed. And I was singled out in this article. And especially Sean Hannity have been slammed for clamoring for an investigation of the investigators, aligning himself with the president's claim of politically motivated witch hunt. And then he said, yeah, Hannity's right. Now, by the way, I was going to go over this with O'Reilly. I never got to it. So, you know, everyone here on my radio show knows how hard we all work behind the scenes. digging up information, doing research, making phone calls, real investigative journalism, you know, shoe leather journalism, phone calls, sources, you know, trying to put pieces together and doing so.
And tons of vetting and tons of verification and speaking to local news.
When I get one thing, occasionally we get things wrong, I have no problem apologizing and retracting, but we don't like to be wrong. So we put a lot of diligence into being right. And our ensemble cast, and I can't mention everybody because I offend somebody. And here it is 2 years later, and all of this is not only right, it's right beyond our wildest imagination. We have not been wrong at all in this. Now, I tell everybody the story how Richard Jewell changed my life. Well, we weren't wrong on the Covington kids, were we? We weren't wrong, nor did we rush to judgment in the Smollett case. Had my suspicions from the beginning, or UVA, or Duke Lacrosse, or Ferguson, or Baltimore, or Cambridge, or vetting Obama and predicting the failure that was so obvious, and that he was a rigid ideologue that had zero flexibility or ability to grow in terms of his intellect or his ideas. He was a rigid, radical ideologue and never deviated, not one time. So it's not by accident we're right and they're always wrong. It's how they approach things through a political prism. As political as some people think that I am, I don't want to be wrong. And we haven't been. Just look at the Washington Post.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being wrong, if I may. But I also don't think that there's any room for it anymore. So it's like, you know.
When I call you out for doing something wrong, you can't stand it.
Oh, I hate it with a passion.
No. The few times you've had to apologize to me, you hate it.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's a way to set the mood. That's good.
What mood are we setting? I'm just telling the truth.
But in all seriousness, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there who don't care about telling the truth because it's not about being right. It's about being first. So if they can get out there first and they can get their message out there first and they
That's sometimes true, but this is even worse than that in this case. This was an agenda. They have devolved into a psychotic state of raging against a duly elected president.
But the Covington kids, I think, was definitely a place of being first. Like, they got a tape. They didn't vet it. They didn't qual about it.
Yeah, but it was also, if they didn't have this hypnotic rage syndrome, they would have at least taken 5 minutes and made one phone call, because that's all it would have taken to find out if it's true. And they wanted to destroy they didn't care. If they can destroy a 16-year-old kid in the process of hurting Trump, they're going to do it.
Yeah, nobody is free from scarring in this.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. They're so dead. Oh, Lynn Wood is going to crush them financially. Crush them. It is, for Lynn Wood, this is like taking candy from a baby. It is fishing in a barrel. It is, you know, just how much pain does he want to inflict on whatever particular so-called news organization he's after at any given moment? I mean, that's what it is. And we're going to see it all on display. I guess this thing comes out at like 9 tomorrow morning, and you just watch breathless hysteria, and you'll see everything that they've done wrong for 2.5 years. They're going to do it wrong again. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. And it is a case study in why Americans can't trust them. A case study in what fake news is. They will never overcome the branding that this president has now tattooed into their foreheads. They'll never, ever live it down. And as I've been saying, they missed the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in history. And it's going to get worse because we have a cascade of information proving how right we were coming. And it's all coming, as I promised you it would. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, Fox News Channel. Also, we will give you a preview of the Mueller report, but more importantly, the beginning of the investigation of the investigators. We are about to have a cascade effect of information that proves we've always been right. Joe DiGenova, Victoria Tunsing, John Solomon, Dan Bongino, Larry Elder, Karl Rove on the political side of all this, and Victor Davis Hanson, 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News. Hope you'll join us. We'll be back here tomorrow for Mueller Madness. It's all dead already. They don't know it.